morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of the CEO Story. We've got a double whammy today for you. We've got Mark and Rob, who are the co-founders of One Manhattan Dental, one of the top dental practices in Manhattan. Mark and Rob, thank you so much for joining us. How are you doing?
Doing great. Good morning. Great.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, no problem. So you guys have both got very diverse and different backgrounds, and I thought it was really interesting how you guys came together and created this amazing state-of-the-art practice in the middle of Manhattan. So can we just kind of dig into that a little bit? Mark, maybe do you want to start by sharing a little bit of your background, and then Rob, we can get into yours after that.
Rob and I, it's a very unique situation. We're best friends, and we're probably around, give or take, 15 years apart. But we share very similar goals, very similar values. And I kind of feel like we're the same age, how we came together, even though we had different starts. We're both from New York. I grew up from New York. Nobody in my family was a dentist. I had no influence to be a dentist. My dad's best friend growing up was a dentist, which when I look back now was probably a big influence for me that guided me to go to dental school. I grew up in Staten Island in the suburbs. So commuting into Manhattan with the family to go to the dentist where his practice was very memorable for me, quite an experience. I can remember the smells walking into his dental office. And I could say he was probably a mentor to me that helped me guide me to get where I am today. I wound up going to dental school at Georgetown University. I lived in Washington, D.C. for 5 years. Came back from Georgetown and decided to do a residency and specialize in prosthodontics, which is the replacement from one tooth to a full mouth reconstruction. So Bob, Rob and I are both prosthodontists. It's a 3-year program in New York. And then I think this is where Rob and I are both different. When I graduated dental school, when I graduated my prosthetic program, I started my own practice. And for 15 years, I built the practice, a small, slow growth. It's not like opening up a 7-Eleven and 100 customers waiting at your door, but it's a certain amount of pride, and it feels good. Patients are coming just to see you.
The hardest thing to do the way Mark did it.
Yeah, it was very difficult, and you know, I grew through the years, but it was a small exponential growth. It wasn't a 20-30% increase per year. So in the meantime, building my own practice, I also looked at other practices. I knew a lot of prosthodontists were retiring, and I can never find the right situation for me. And about 12 years ago, I got a phone call from another dentist, Dr. Larry Calagna. I can mention his name, a quite famous prosthodontist in Manhattan. And we got together. We worked together for 2 years, and he transitioned his practice to me, which I combined with my practice. It was easy for me because I already had a nice business that I was growing, so it was easy to supplement this practice into mine. Since then, I've bought another prosthodontic practice to get where I am today. So my growth started by me building it myself and then adding practices to my existing practice.
Got it. So that was kind of more slow and steady growth, and then a few partnerships and takeovers along the way.
Yeah, and then it was a big growth after buying these practices. And Rob and I have been friends for about 10, 12 years now, and we always shared our dreams getting together. And then we built this amazing office together, and here we are now. We have very similar practices from a patient standpoint, from a demographic standpoint, and from a financial standpoint also. If I had to do it over again, I don't know if I would do it any different. You know, there's a certain amount of pride, like I said, building my own patients from the start, as opposed to a quicker growth might have been to buy a practice from day one, and there's great benefits from that, and Rob will tell you his story, how that worked from day one also.
Great transition there for us, Mark. So we can transition over to you, Rob, and
kind of your story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we have a lot of similarities and some differences. I grew up on Long Island, about 30 miles west of where we are right now, east rather. And so I grew up on Long Island. No one in my family was a doctor or a dentist. No one ever had professional education or my parents went through a couple of years of college each, nothing major. And I just really enjoyed science and looked at what can I do to be my own boss and be a scientist.
If no one else had done that in your family at that point and you were the first one, what kind of drove you to go that extra mile at that point?
You know, and just looking observing the world. I don't know. I just saw how people live their lives and what people had from a lifestyle standpoint and things. And I could see that my parents were working really hard. My mother and father would overlap the shifts that they worked a little bit. And as my sister got older, she would take care of me. Then I got older, I'd cook the family dinner at 12, 13 years old. My mother would work a second job at night. And I just saw my parents were spending a lot of time trying to just maintain a stable household for us. And it required our family unit to work really hard to all do these pieces. And what we were losing out by that was time with each other. So I enjoyed science. I wanted to have a comfortable life with the same stability, but I wanted to be more available for my family. And that kind of drew me to dentistry and away from medicine, because at a certain period of time, I was thinking of being an orthopedic surgeon. And then as I started spending time with orthopedic surgeons, they were working 70 to 90 hours a week. So I don't want to do that in the office and in the hospital. I don't really want to do that for my family. And then I'm going to have the same problem that my family has right now, right? They have. So I found a few different healthcare to look. I was observing with physical therapists, and I was doing the work to look into the industries that I wanted to go into and spending time with different individuals in those industries. And after spending my time with three different dentists, and after a couple of physical therapists and a couple of doctors, I figured that dentistry really fit what I thought in my head and heart I wanted for my life. So in college, I shifted from pre-med to pre-dental. And I started, you know, started doing everything I could to get into dental school at that point. And luckily, I got into a really good dental school, Buffalo, upstate New York, which was a state school at the same point. So it was a great education at a kind of a discounted rate because my family didn't have money to pay for education. I knew it would all be on me, so I wanted to lower the financial burden to myself through the process, knowing that I wanted to have a stable life. And so after that, I went for a one-year residency in just general dentistry, doing a little bit of everything in the hospital. And I found a position that opened up in a PROS program, and I wasn't even applying for the PROS program, prosthodontist. I had a friend at the program. I interviewed, offered in a matter of 2 weeks. I was starting in 3 weeks from then. It was a crazy little reality. And so a three-year program, Mark and I went for these programs that not many dentists do, not many people even know what a prosthodontist is. There's less than 3,000 of us in the country. There's more dentists in Manhattan than there are prosthodontists in the United States of America. It's kind of funny, right?
Yeah.
And so after that three-year program, I'm now 30 years old. I hate school, but I spent all this time in education. And I'm like, I'm in debt about $200,000 at that time. I didn't have a lot of money in my pocket. And I had to get a job. And so I had a couple jobs that didn't work out, right? We've talked in the past. I had a few employers, dentist employers, that were kind of opportunistic on a young dentist and taking advantage of me, not paying me what they said they would, or trying to bill under my license number, and things that didn't work out. So I found myself in like August, I graduated in June. I had about $10,000 to $12,000 in the bank. And then I found myself in the middle of August being unemployed. I was a postdoctorate dentist, right? I had a postdoctorate degree, specialty, two different residencies under my belt. I had no job, unemployed with like $12,000 in the bank. And at that point, I just decided I wouldn't work for anyone I didn't want to, right? I only wanted to practice a certain way. I wanted to be a specialist, a non-insurance dentist. And so it took me a couple months and spending that money of living my life in New York City as a single guy, trying to have some fun the meanwhile. I found myself working for a guy in Long Island. So I was reverse commuting from New York City, driving there every morning and working for a fellow prosthodontist. And a couple months into working, we ended up in like January, I started building up a nice practice, and I was supposed to finally get like my first real check, like beyond my minimum. And he didn't pay me above my minimum. We had a conversation and it came out, I misunderstood how I was supposed to be paid. And that was January, on a Saturday in January. And I was very upset because I really was working really hard for 3 months to build this practice from October, November, December, to build this practice and be here and finally get kind of like enough money where I could live and survive. And it wasn't going to work out.
At that point, right? You've earned it. You worked hard. And then you got hard done by again.
It was like I got pushed down at first back when those two jobs didn't work out. Then I pushed down again. And it's like, you know, very demoralizing on one level. Like, the world is just not giving me back what I put into it over this whole course of time, from education and investment of energy and money, and it just isn't working out. So I spent about a minute feeling bad for myself, and then I turned that around and said, I have to create opportunity. So I called in every professor and attending I had through my residency that Mark knew all these people, and I asked to come spend some time with them in their office in New York City, because I figured I didn't want to be on Long Island. I wanted to be in New York City. So I spent time with all of them saying, is there any opportunity you can give me, anything that we can do together, anything? And I found a couple people of like the 15 guys that I spent time with, and they're all guys, that's why I say guys. There were two or three of them that were interested in having me kind of rent space from them so I could take like a patient I met in the street or wherever, a family member, and treat them in their office and give them a little bit of money for that, like pay them for that. And I partnered with this guy, Paul Hoffman, who's my version of Larry Calagna. And I had a very small practice at that point, like less than 10 people that I met. Maybe I met like a girl at the bar whose friend had a chipped tooth. Or I had a friend who was like a chef on TV and I whitened his teeth, things like that. Small little things. And eventually Paul said, hey, Rob, I like having you around and I'm really getting along here. I think I'd like to talk with you about maybe buying my practice. And so I went from working from a guy in Long Island, being an employee or an associate, we call it in dentistry, from renting from Paul with a couple, you know, just a few handfuls of patients, to being offered to buy his practice from that. So Mark had this like growth. I kind of was like hovering and then was able to take over a practice in a really fair term. So I think the first real thing that happened to me at that moment was the world did give back to me, right? The opportunity of me working hard, being ready, the door finally opened. And Paul, I can't say enough good things about him. He looked at the relationship from his standpoint to help the profession, to help a young person, to help his patients, to not just get what he could from the sale of his practice, but also to give the opportunity to all the people involved with it, all the people in the right terms. So Paul gave me very fair terms. You know, I bought Paul's practice. It was like $600,000 to buy that practice at that point. And I had $2,000 cash in my name. And luckily the bank financing worked out through Bank of America. And Paul gave me a good deal and really helped get me going. And from there, I own my own practice at 32 years old. I own my own business. Every employee was older than me. Every patient was older than me. It was really like a weird place. And like a year later, I met Mark and we just gravitated toward each other, became best friends within like a few months. And we've had such a beautiful journey between then and 2 years before from here, where we first met each other. Casey, you met the two of us, and we were working on merging our businesses. So I maintained my solo practice. Mark had his practice with a few other dentists. And we decided we were going to take these two, our lives personally, and kind of blend our professional lives also, and form something that were One Manhattan Dental, and we founded our practice, and we joined together. Mark, it's almost our anniversary.
Yeah, Casey, you met us at the pinnacle when we were just coming together, and it almost fell apart on that trip.
I remember we were...
Well, Rob and I had different opinions of where we should practice. Where we're practicing now, I was here for 10 years. And I was like, wow, God, Rob, look at the view behind me. Look at this. Patients love coming to this office. But we could build a brand new space over here, and I had two other partners here, practices for us to buy, and I really didn't want to move. Personally, it probably would have worked out either way. But we almost walked away from each other on that trip. We were both very stubborn. And I said, Rob, we got to stay in this space. And I was on the phone with my coach, and I was talking to you, and Rob was talking to you. And we left there saying we got some decisions to make, and gratefully it worked out this way.
Yeah, the next few months, right?
The reason is that the practice that Rob bought, Dr. Paul Hoffman, was coincidentally one of my instructors in my graduate program. So I went through the graduate program 15 years before Rob, and all these instructors were young. They weren't selling their practices, and I didn't see the opportunity to buy a practice at that age, or I wasn't smart enough to look for it. So the difference is how it worked out for both of us. I kind of liked Rob's technique to buy that practice right off the start. I didn't have the opportunity, or I didn't maybe research it as well as Rob did, and they both worked out tremendously for both of us.
I think that's key. You know, listening to your stories and knowing you guys, it's just been fantastic watching it all come together. But for the listeners out there, and the real takeaways here is that you can succeed at business through many different paths and still come together and grow even more, right? There's no right or wrong way to do this. And I think that's a lot where a lot of people get caught up on, oh, I've got to do this. And they're set in their own ways. That if you can just be a little bit more flexible and think through things from different lenses, that you can achieve that same outcome by going a variety of different ways.
Yeah, I think what Mark and I did early on was define who we wanted to be as our professional, and understanding there's a want for that also, right? So we understand who we wanted to be and who we wanted to resonate with in the world. So to be in love with our customer and to be in love with how we do things and merge those two. And once we were always, that's the constant between how Mark did it and how I did it. We were always identifying ourselves as the same type of person, a dentist who works collaboratively with their patients for the highest level of care. And so business-wise, Mark had a different trajectory. I had a different trajectory, and we met together because the constant is the identifying with what the world wants and who we are, and not trying to be someone for everyone, and understanding different business strategies, but understanding the same strategy is having the ideal customer who you're in love with and staying true to who you are.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think that stays so true because especially along your journey, Rob, where you're getting taken advantage of as a new student coming out of your second residency, and it's like, when am I going to get a break? You could have easily stopped at that point and just went and worked for someone at a 9 to 5.
Most people do.
Yeah. And that's what I think we're both similar, is that we both didn't want to work for someone. You know, neither of us wanted to work for someone. We both had some part-time jobs here and there, but we were both eager about building our own businesses.
And it's staying true to that thought, so I really resonate with that. Let's talk a little bit about you guys coming together, because the energy that you have together is fantastic, and I've witnessed that firsthand. But for the people, it's not always fantastic and away you go. Like you said, you guys couldn't necessarily agree at the beginning, or at least when we met, on a few key decisions on location of office and things like that. Can you break down some of the steps to find that resolution? Because that's a huge life decision for you both, right? How did you figure it out?
Well, the decision with the offices, I think we were both, that was the toughest one. We were both willing to walk away from each other. We were both stuck on that. And we realize now that we can't do that anymore. Now that we're together, and we do butt heads on certain decisions, but then we talk about it together, and we're very clear on coming to a median, and we're both not always 100% happy, but we listen to each other. I know when Rob makes a decision, it's been thought out 10 different ways, and he's very clear why he wants to get to that decision. So before I say no, I have to have a good reason why I don't think his decision is going to work, because I know he already thought about it. So I think we both put in enough effort to help each other make these decisions.
Yeah, no, I think a lot. You know, one of the things I used to get preached at is, you got two ears and one mouth, so listen more than you talk. That was drilled into me at a young age, so I can resonate.
You know, I could talk with you a little bit about I don't think Mark and I ever spoke about this, but my experience through that time. So Mark and I were negotiating a lease at a space that was a little bigger than what we have now. I had two more dental. We have 8 chairs in the office we're in right now, 8 operatories where you can treat patients in. And the space we were looking at building had 10 chairs, had a little bit bigger consultation room, had a little bit bigger front desk, a little bit bigger common spaces. And I was very paired on that idea for what I felt was the ideal patient experience. And so Mark was very, very held up on where we are now in our office, or his former office, or, you know, whatever, for the reasons he was. And so I made lists of like, okay, option A, I go with Mark. Option B, I build the office alone. Option C, I stay where I am. And I made the pros and cons of each list, and then I numerically rated everything. And what I really that you don't make a decision on the numbers, but you kind of helps you just think it through. And what I cared most about were two things, right? It was being with the people I'm with is most important. So there's Mark. Mark, I have to figure out being with Mark. And I realized the patient experience is so much internal to the patient, not external to the space, that it didn't matter where we were. It didn't matter where we were, and being with Mark was more important than not being with Mark. And I knew that him and I had the same philosophies for the most part with what we want to be from a business and a patient thing. And the other thing that I really, so we made a decision on that alone. And the other thing I want to highlight is for Mark and I is that where we get held up with each other, but we also prosper together, is that we have difference of opinions on a lot of things and different approaches and different philosophies sometimes. And that's a strength, not a weakness. When it happens, it feels like a weakness because sometimes we bitch each other out or we get upset with each other, and we complain to each other, and we might be aggressive a little bit with each other because we're like emotional Italian New York guys. But those sticky points, when they happen, like I know, I say to myself, like, this is the point where the weight's heavy. We're going to get stronger because of this weight. It just doesn't feel like it in the moment.
Yeah.
And Mark and I have the same coach. Mark spoke with her today at 8:30. I spoke with her at 11. She's our coaches independently, but part of like this power that we have together is we have her as this person that helps to bring us together or work through things apart. It's a really amazing dynamic. I don't think that maybe my wife and I should have a coach too.
Usually when we get hung up on this, usually if we get hung up on a decision, we're both a little right, or maybe both a little wrong. I mean, the hardest decision was to move, and we will never know which would have worked out better.
It both would have worked out.
You know, the other office would have been as we wanted to create it instead of a space that was already worked out. Whether I was right or wrong, my biggest sticking point was the practice where we are now. There were two other older dentists in here. Rob and I have both bought both their practices since then.
Yeah.
So it wasn't just me moving to another office. I was moving two 75-year, 80-year-old dentists who had, you know, over a million-plus practices also. So it was three of us moving. And again, it could still have worked. They weren't happy about moving. I could have convinced them to move if we were moving. They might not have had a choice. So that was part of the decision for me that was important. That was three.
Let me break that down a little bit, because we've covered a lot so far, but kind of the key points that you made there, Rob, was you made different lists of pros and cons of different scenarios and then weighted them accordingly and then looked at those numbers. But that wasn't the be-all and end-all, because there was still another factor, an EQ factor, let's call that, of the numbers are saying one thing, but really my heart and my head, and factoring all those together to then realize that, hey, this is the best way forward.
Yeah, I realize that what matters most is never the decision. It's always what happens after you make the decision. Yeah. And I knew that having Mark by my side and doing the journey together was the most important and most critical part of where my life goes, our life goes, the next 20 years together.
Definitely. And then the other thing you said was you have a coach. So can we talk just a little bit? I know we're running close to time, but can we talk a little bit about the value of having a coach or someone there to kind of guide and play neutral between the both of you when things get
tough? You know, it's almost like having a therapist to consult with. And besides coming between both of us, we've used our coach to implement training sessions for our staff, where we get together as a group and go over different value chains. And it's really helped us with our business and really helped produce a really dynamic team that we've had now that we've already established. We've both met this coach through Tony Robbins. Rob started working with her first. And then I picked up on her afterwards. We both done Business Mastery 1 and 2 with Tony Robbins. I see it for life now. You know, LeBron James has a coach. He's the best basketball player in the world. Tiger Woods has a coach. You know, it really helps you with growth.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think it, Mark, it's like a you know, I try to meditate every day, and like the coaching thing is kind of like that too, right? It's like a pause in your week where you reflect on where you spent the past week and you look kind of forward to where you're going the next week, a level of accountability, because she's very honest and a little hard on us sometimes in a good way, but she's also supportive to us in a good way. And I think it kind of makes you like evaluate your life and what's important to you, where instead of getting caught up on the hamster wheel, you step out of it, you look at it and say, oh, okay, this is the great stuff. This is the stuff that needs a little tweak and little shifts, and kind of helps you through those things in a very supportive way. I think I can't say enough about having a coach, right, Mark? Like having the right coach.
I love what you said about the meditating, because when I get off the phone with her, I'm like, all right, I'm in the best state now, and everything's going to be good. I'm going to have a great week from here.
Yeah.
Fantastic. So, okay, so as we look to wrap up, I'm going to ask you both the same question, and that is, if you had to split your success between three factors, being drive, skill, and luck, how would you apportion it between the three?
Okay, I'll go. So how much of my success would be from drive, skill, and luck? I think that drive is the strongest with luck after that. I think your drive lends you to be ready for opportunities that we call as luck. And I think skill is something you can never define. It's if you commit to working on your skill or your skills of everything that goes into what you do, I think that they are the biggest part of your success. Sometimes people think is your skill, but the skill is an evolving thing if you allow it to be. And that's the least important next to the drive and luck that's together.
So you have to be able to. So if you're ranking them, it's drive, skill, and luck for you. Or which way?
Yeah, for me. But Mark, what do you think? Mark might disagree.
Well, yeah, I definitely see Rob having the drive first. He's got the best drive. I don't think we'd be here without the training and the skill that we have. The skill has given me the confidence that supports my drive. I don't think much of it is luck, because we both work really hard. The only luck that I see of me is where I'm practicing now is where I had to go to when I was 25 years old to get into my graduate program to two dentists that were practicing in this exact building. And I went there and I'm like, wow, I would love to practice here. It's the best place in Manhattan. So the way that turned out for me, that's a little bit of luck. But we worked really hard. So we haven't gotten where we are because of luck. And the drive and skill could be flipped back and forth. Our skills are constantly improving through continuing education. And the skill is there now. But at this point, it's the drive that takes us through it.
Yeah,
I think I would have all the drive without having the skill to support my drive.
Yeah, I think Mark's point is really, really important, because you have to have the skill first to back up everything else that comes, but the true potential of you only gets fulfilled with that drive. You could be in a room alone with all the skill and be nowhere.
And if you just have the drive without the skill, that's going to be transparent, and the patients are going to see right through that. It's going to look like, it's not going to look real. It's not going to
like that trendy restaurant that can't make a steak, right?
Right, right, right.
There's enough of that around. But gentlemen, thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today. It's been so interesting sharing your stories. We'll put a link below to One Manhattan Dental so everyone can come check you guys out and read up on your bios and your practice. So thank you so much.
This was fun. Thank you, Casey.
Always nice, Casey.
Follow up sometime.